Happy December. Good morning. How's everybody? Happy December. Are you glad to be here this morning? Are you just glad to be anywhere warm this morning? Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, as you came in this morning, I hope that you received the bulletin. If so, please take it out. Let's go over some of the things that are going on. It's December, so that means there's a lot of things that are happening. So right after our morning worship service this morning, we're going to be having Sunday school. And many of you stayed the last time we had Sunday school, even for the adult class, and that was really, really good. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Again, it's just another opportunity for us to really get into the Word of God in kind of a little more intimate and more smaller setting than we can on Sunday morning during the sermon. Men, Tuesday night, we have leadership team meeting here at the church. I hope that's on your calendar. Thursday night is Awana. It's glow-in-the-dark night. Saturday, men, 8 a.m. here at the church. We have men's breakfast. I don't know exactly what's on the menu except for you guys are so good. All right. No pressure here. Right, William? Right? Okay. All right. So join us. And this is open to all of the men here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. If you haven't been coming for a long time, but you think, hey, men's breakfast, that sounds pretty good. We want to invite you to be able to come and join us for that. So ladies, there's a ladies' Christmas party coming up on December 14th. And then 2 weeks from today is Christmas, our Christmas breakfast, annual Christmas breakfast, I'll get it right. And the church, which means Jared, is going to be providing French toast and scrambled eggs, and beverage will be provided. But we need other things to go along with breakfast, so there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. So we need you as you leave today to stop by there and sign up for that so that we know who's bringing what. And remember, you're bringing to help contribute to the Easter, or to the Easter. Why do I have Easter on my brain? To the Christmas breakfast, okay? And so you're bringing to help complete the meal. So just keep that in mind. Ladies, there's details about your Christmas party coming up. Also on December 15th, following our worship service, you need to put this on your calendar. It's going to be our church family meeting. And we already have an idea of kind of what we're going to present to you. And so make sure that you have that on your calendar to stay and join us for that. If you are fairly new to Lake Hazel Bible Church and you wonder, how in the world do you do business? How in the world does things happen here at Lake Hazel Bible Church? This is a great opportunity for you to be able to get those questions answered for you. Don't forget the Christmas reflections. Put up our daily bread on the information table. Our daily bread devotional books that begin today are out there on the information table as well. Lots of other information. That's why it's important for you to be able to have a bulletin. Are you ready to worship? Ready to praise? Ready to give God glory?
Sam. We forgot a very important birthday today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That would be my wife, Christy.
Oh.
So yeah. You better believe we're going to sing.
I wasn't going to do that because I really appreciate her. But
yeah.
So you notice who, you notice, you just, okay. All right. Well, you know what? Since her birthday's today, we need to sing happy birthday. So
yes,
Christy, stand up. I know you won't mind. Stand up. Let's sing happy birthday to Christy. All right, a little later after the service, when you see her, make sure that you say happy birthday to her personally. All right, now?
Now.
Now.
It's ready.
Now. Are you ready? Here we go.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning?
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Yes, I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. He's worthy of our praise. Come on. I'm going to read you some scripture this morning as we get started. It's found in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Sing that again. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
For he has done great things.
For he has done great things. He has done great things. Done great things, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord,
O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy
Lord, we're here to bless you. We're here to bless you first and foremost. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done, for who you are. Lord, we're here to bless you. Amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou rising morning, praise, rejoice. Ye lights of evening find a voice. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, Alleluia. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Psalm 103, 8 through 12 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us."
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, I just want to give you a quick reminder that God nor the church needs your money. God asks for you to worship him. He's do it. He's worthy of it. So worship him, if you will, with giving. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?"
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. My spirit the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield.
You alone.
Yes, I long to worship thee.
Well, we may long to worship him while we're in this place every Sunday morning, but do we long to worship him when we're out there? Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? That's something for us to really consider. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 this morning. So if you haven't figured it out, it's another Christmas time. If the weather hasn't told you that and the calendar hasn't told you that, I don't know what's wrong with you, okay? But if you haven't been paying attention to the commercials on the radio and the television, you know, we sang that song, Only He Can Satisfy. But you know what the commercials this time of year is all about? Wanting you to understand that you're not satisfied if you don't have the right things underneath the tree on Christmas Day. You're not satisfied if you haven't given the right gift or you haven't received the right gift. But the Bible never says that those are the things that bring satisfaction. Only He brings satisfaction. Aren't you glad for that this morning? All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. They thought I forgot. Come here. So many of you know who this is, right? This is Silas. And I'm his papa. And there's his Nana. And his daddy's over there. And I think his mom is in the nursery. And in just a month, January 8th, Silas becomes a Tremaine. So I don't know how many of you are aware of that, but the adoption becomes final on January 8th. We're just a little bit excited, right? And so we're just so happy that God has blessed us by bringing Silas into our family, into our lives. Now, I know that many of you are happy for Silas and happy for us as well. All right, I just threw that in for free. I'm not going to charge you extra for that this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for these songs that remind us of the fact that we didn't get here by ourselves. We weren't created by ourselves. Wasn't our intelligence, wasn't our family heritage that brought us to be. It's because you created us. Everything that we can enjoy is ours to enjoy because you are the creator. And Father, as we learn more and more about you, Father, may we understand that our lives aren't about us, but they're about you. So Father, open our hearts, open our minds, open our very lives to be able to receive what you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. So because it's Christmas time, we're going to start a Christmas series. And for the next four Sundays, all of our sermons are going to be from John chapter 1. And my hope for this Christmas series is to bring our thinking about Christmas more in line with a biblical perspective instead of a secular understanding. And it's amazing how the secular world wants to affect our thinking of what Christmas really is all about. In fact, most of our ideas about Christmas come from medieval art, Christmas cards, or even Christmas music. And speaking of Christmas music, sometimes the Christmas songs we sing are difficult for children, like we just dismissed, for kids to sing correctly. For example, in joy to the world instead of singing and makes the nations prove. Some children declare and makes the nations prudes. Okay, you all might get that later on today. In the place of the cattle are lowing, some kids prefer to sing the cattle are glowing. Well, everything kind of seems to be glowing more and more during the Christmas season, right? Instead of deck the halls with boughs of holly, a few have been known to belt out these words, deck the halls with Buddy Holly. And I don't know if many of them even know who that is. Maybe some of you don't either, so Google it. So many of our misconceptions about the biblical narrative of the first Christmas comes from art, Christmas cards, or Christmas music as well. In fact, I want to kind of share some of those misconceptions with you as we are early on in our Christmas season. You know, there's no evidence that Mary rode to Bethlehem on a donkey. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 only says that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem, not how they got there. Interesting, isn't it? There's no record of the innkeeper saying anything in the Christmas story. In fact, he's not even mentioned in the Bible. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 simply says there was no place for them in the inn. We don't know the exact day of Jesus' birth. It's more likely he was born in the spring. Now, how do we arrive at that? Well, because remember when the angels came to be able to sing the announcement of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem? Where were the shepherds? They were in the hills. What were they doing? Keeping watch of their flocks. By what? Night. If it was in the dead of winter, they wouldn't be out there. It'd be too cold for the sheep. It'd be too cold for them. So it can't be then. So it has to be during kind of a warmer season. And so it was probably sometime in the spring. But I'm glad that we recognize his birth on December 25th because it causes us to what? Recognize the fact that God himself, as we're going to see in a little bit, came to this earth to be our Savior. Jesus was not placed in a wooden crib after his birth. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 says Jesus was laid in a manger, which was back then a stone feeding trough. And by the way, this may mean that animals were present, but the Bible doesn't say that either. Even though one of our carols declares no crying he makes, it is likely Jesus did cry, since later he wept when Lazarus, his friend, died. The Bible doesn't say, hark the herald angels sing. Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 indicates the angels were praising God and saying, but there's no indication that they were singing. The Bible does not say there were three wise men. Matthew 2 chapter 11 does mention three gifts which are given, and the Bible never records them coming singing, we three kings from Orient are. Now they were magi, which means they were Persians. They were men who belonged to the group described in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2 as magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers. And as the context indicates, part of their focus involved astrology and astronomy. In fact, our English word, magic, comes from the same word used to describe these seekers. And speaking of the wise men, they did not arrive the night of Jesus' birth, but they came about 2 years later. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 indicates they went into the house and saw the child, which is the word for toddler. The Bible does not state that there was a star over the place where Jesus was born. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2 and verses 9 and 10 indicates that the star caused the wise men to head out on a journey, and when they got closer, the star guided them to the house where Jesus was, not the stable. There's one more myth to consider at the start of this Christmas season, and that's what our message this morning is going to be all about. And that myth is this, that misconception is this. Many people believe that Jesus' life began in Bethlehem. If you were to ask somebody who isn't very spiritual, if you ask somebody who doesn't have a really strong church background, where did Jesus begin? They would say, well, he was born in Bethlehem. But being born in Bethlehem did not bring about Jesus' beginning. As we're going to see here in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Jesus was a long time before he he ever came to this earth, has born as a little baby in an insignificant city called Bethlehem. So Jesus' life did not begin in Bethlehem because he has always been. Hopefully by now you found John chapter 1 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's amazing this morning that the Holy Spirit directed our worship team and directed especially Jared to be able to sing these songs that remind us that the Lord's our maker. He's the creator. He's the reason why all of creation is here. He's the reason why you and I are here. Now, in his gospel account, Luke gives us timestamps. In those days and in that region, while as we've already just seen, John's approach is more eternal. John goes back how far? In the beginning. Not the beginning of time as we know it. Not the beginning of things as we know it. Not the beginning of human beings as we know it. But in the beginning. In the very beginning of all that there ever was Jesus. So John's gospel is not so much biographical as it is theological. And in John's gospel, he records 7 I am statements and 7 miracles to show that Jesus is the eternal Son of God in whom we believe for eternal life. And John's purpose for writing his gospel is stated clearly at the end of the gospel. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, listen to this. John writes, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life," speaking of eternal life, "in his name." So instead of focusing on bringing Jesus down to earth, John takes us up to heaven, to a time when there was no creation, no animals, no humanity, a time when Jesus, the eternal Word, coexisted with God in perfect love and in unity of God's purpose. So Jesus' life did not begin in Bethlehem because he always has been. And there's some things for us regarding that we need to pay attention to. The first thing is this: Jesus is eternally God. If you're taking notes, that's the first point. Jesus is eternally God. And John begins his narrative in a truthful way. Look again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, there's a statement about God, and what comes next here in John chapter 1 is a declaration about the Word eternal, showing that Jesus is God. So God himself left the glory and the splendor of heaven and came in the person of Jesus and was born in this place called Bethlehem, grew to be a man, to be able to show us and to reveal to us God in his attributes, God in his purposes and plans, and to go to the cross to pay the debt of sin that we as human beings owed, because you couldn't pay it and I couldn't pay it. Only the perfect sacrifice could do that, and God himself came to this earth in the person of Jesus to be that perfect sacrifice. John is taking us into eternity preceding time as we know it. In fact, Jesus affirmed this. Jesus said he was the beginning before the beginning of time. It's recorded in John chapter 8 and verse 58, where Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Now the Jews, they traced their heritage back to Abraham, and they were proud of that fact. In fact, when there was the conflict between the Jewish religious leaders and Jesus, they said, "We can go all the way back to Abraham." And here in John chapter 8, as it's recorded for us, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Not I was, I am. So Jesus is eternal, because he has always and absolutely existed before time himself. You need to grab a hold of that. Jesus is eternal because he has always and absolutely existed before time itself. The word beginning here in John chapter 1 speaks of authority, rule, head, and cause. And in order for that word to be able to describe Jesus, it has to be able to describe the fact that he is eternal. In fact, Jude verse 25 captures this truth very well. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Follow this before all time, now and forever. Amen. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, which is a prophecy that oftentimes we talk about this time of year. Micah prophesied that the Messiah would not only be born in Bethlehem, but that he would also be the one whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 picks up on this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, it's interesting how John describes for us, how John defines for us Jesus. He uses the word. And notice that here in John chapter 1, the word is capitalized, which tells us it's not just about a word. It's just not about a word on a page. It's about a person. And who is that person? That person is Jesus. The word used here in John chapter 1 is the word logos in the Greek, which means the act of speaking and the things spoken. John chapter 1, verse 1, I consider to be the heart of all of God's word. And this is made clear when we drop down to verse 14 of John chapter 1, where we see that the word eternal is Jesus, where John writes, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And with the word logos, John is using a term everyone was familiar with, and yet he expanded and transcended its very meaning. Since a word is an audible expression of a thought, has the word eternal, Jesus has revealed what to us, what goes on in the mind and the heart of God. You see, Jesus' life did not begin in Bethlehem, because he has always been. The second thing that we need to consider this morning is that Jesus is equally God. Look again at verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This next phrase clearly states that Jesus and the Father have always been together and yet are distinct from one another, and the Word was with God. And instead of using the common Greek word with to indicate being near or close, John uses a much stronger word, which means towards God or face to face, telling us what? That God and Jesus were together from the beginning. You can't separate them. And we see this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 with the use of plural pronouns, where God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Emphasis on us, our, and our. So that God has to be talking about what? More than one. So who's he talking about? Himself and Jesus and also the Holy Spirit. To reinforce Jesus' eternal preexistence, John both restates and reinforces this truth in verse 12, in verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. The pronoun he proves that we are not saved for eternal life by a principle or a power, but through a personal Savior. Let me say that again. The pronoun he proves that we are not saved for eternal life by a principle or a power, but through a personal Savior. And then verse 1 concludes, and the Word was God. This can't be any clearer, folks. The word God here is in the emphatic position. And in the Greek language, the Greeks would put the word they wanted to emphasize first. They wanted to emphasize first in the sentence. So this statement really reads this way in the Greek. God was the Word. It's pretty clear, isn't it? God was the Word. God and Jesus existed together all the way into eternity past. John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, places the emphasis in the correct place. And therefore, we need to place the emphasis this Christmas season in the right and correct and proper place. In fact, Jesus himself said, and it's recorded in John chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, "I and the Father are one." And when the Jews heard Jesus make this statement, they were real excited. This is what they'd been hoping for. This is what they were wanting to hear all of the time while Jesus was here. Wrong. This actually angered the Jews. When Jesus made the comment that before Abraham was born, I am, that angered the Jews. But when Jesus made the comment and the declaration statement, I and the Father are one, that really angered the Jews. And what was the reason for that? Because they were so short-sighted, these Jewish religious leaders were so short-sighted that they kept thinking that they knew where Jesus was born. They knew where he lived. They knew his family. And there was no way in the world, because of all of this head knowledge, that they could ever equate Jesus with being existing before creation, existing with God before creation, as they knew it. They had a hard time coming to grips with that because they knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They knew that for a period of time after Jesus was born in Bethlehem that Joseph and Mary took him to Egypt to be safe. And then when it was safe, then an angel came and told Joseph and Mary, now take the child back to Israel. And they moved back to Israel and they moved to Nazareth. And there they raised Joseph and Mary raised Jesus. They knew that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Because many times they would say, when they would have conversations with Jesus, they would say, we know your family. We know where you came from. We know who you are. Jesus kept saying, no, you really don't. Because I've come from my Father in heaven. And I've come for his purpose. I've come to do his will. I've come so that I can die on the cross. Because there's an issue of sin that needs to be taken care of, and I'm the one that's come to do that. Because you can't do it yourself. They thought all of their sacrifices, they thought all of their keeping of all of the laws that had been added to the Mosaic law through centuries was what was going to get them into the presence of God. And that's where their eternal life was going to come. And Jesus said, no, that's not what it's about. It's about believing in me. And the whole rest of the book of John tells us over and over and over again, tells us over and over and over again that Jesus said, if you believe in me, you have eternal life. Folks, it's not any clearer than that. It's not about religion. It's not about a church creed. It's not about things that a church says you need to do, a list of 5 things or 10 things or 25 things or whatever. It's about believing in Jesus as Savior. Jesus himself said, you believe in me, you have eternal life. Because that was his purpose for coming. That was God's purpose for coming. John delivered a strong truth with simple words to show that Jesus is God. Jesus' life did not begin in Bethlehem because he has always been. Here's the third point. Jesus made everything. Look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do you all understand that? Now to some who choose not to understand, that sounds like gibberish. But let me read it again. And you listen to it with an open heart and with an open mind. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, did you notice something about this statement? This statement is stated both in the positive and in the negative. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The phrase all things is categorically an absolute statement. There was no Big Bang theory. Okay, there was no Big Bang. There was no little bit of chemical, ammonia-wise, whatever, floating in the universe. And where the universe came from, who knows? But all of a sudden, it decided it was going to grow, and there was an electrical charge. By the way, if that's true, where did the electrified thing that was floating around in the universe come from? And whatever started it on its path to be able to evolve to what it is that we know today around us, if it was an electrical charge, where did the electrical charge come from? You realize that those who ascribe to the fact that Jesus didn't create everything that was created, he didn't create everything that was made, these scientists, they have no basis for what it is that they say that they believe. They have no evidence. Were they there? No. Were we there? No. Was Jesus there? Yes. And did Jesus tell us? Yes. Did God tell us? Was God there? Yes. Did God tell us? Yes. How did God tell us? In his word. Folks, we either believe it or we don't. We either follow it or we don't. That's the issue. The phrase all things is categorically an absolute statement. So when the world, when secular thinking tells you that, you know what, there's no absolutes anymore. Nothing is absolute. Yeah, the Bible's full of absolutes. And I'm so grateful for that. And if at any time we need to lean on the absolutes because of the mixed messages that are sent, it's this time of year. It's this time of year. The phrase through him reminds us that Jesus is the ancient agent of creation. And we see this reinforced in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, where God tells us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. He is the Creator. Let us bow down and worship him, because he has created everything. Apart from Jesus, there was not anything made that was made. There was not anything made that was made. There was not anything made that was made. Since Jesus made everything, and without him was not anything made that was made, it tells us that Jesus himself was not made. When you think that he is the creator of the universe, his birth as a baby here on earth becomes even more amazing. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven. God himself in the person of Jesus to come to this earth, to come to this little significant town in Israel, to be able to be born, to take on human flesh. And by taking on human flesh, he could become our Savior. A preacher of old put it this way: the creator of creation humbled himself and became a creature in his creation. Jesus, who was the agent of creation, stepped out of eternity, laid aside his glory, and entered this world as a human baby. That's why this season is not about trees and tinsel, packages and parties, bows and boxes, or meals and mistletoe. That's why this season is about him. And John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 makes this truth so clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was not created, because he is the Creator. Jesus had his birth in Bethlehem, but not his beginning, because he has always been. So this Christmas, let's consider these words about the word eternal. These words we just heard from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Let's consider these words about the word eternal. Worshipfully, humbly, and with a sense of awe and wonder. Let's pause, ponder, and this Christmas season, let's praise him for who he is, the eternal word. Let's pray. Father, help us to be able to consider these words from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, about the word eternal. And Father, may we truly worship you this Christmas season. And in order to truly worship you, we need to set aside the secular thinking. We need to set aside the things that we're bombarded with as we approach this Christmas season. Father, help us to do it humbly. And Father, help us to have a sense of awe and wonder, not in the lights, not in the trees, not in the parties, not in the festivities, but Father, in the truth that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Help us to pause. Help us to ponder. And Father, help us to truly praise him for who he is, the eternal Word. Amen.
Would you all stand for this last song?
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee.
Just the ladies, next verse. Next verse, gentlemen.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose.
All together.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
A cappella.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will